Studios.
Hey there, Arch Phoenix Studios Podcast Network listeners. Elliot Lerner of Cheers to You here, reminding you to check out other Arch Phoenix Studios podcasts. For example, you can check out the flagship podcast, Art Can Fix with Andy King, a show about art, artists, and how artists use art and have used art to fix themselves and others. You can also check out In the Green Room with Stephanie Fravel and Isabella Eliopoulos, exploring the intimate moments and conversations that take place behind the stage with hardworking performers in Chicago. And there's also Wake and Jake, the show for those seeking a new Monday morning ritual. Wake up with Jake as he improvises some soothing music and gets your week started right. Cheers! This week, my guest and I enjoy a golden brew and reminisce on days long gone, comedy, and that one time he got hit by a taxi cab. This is Cheers to You. And welcome to Cheers to You, the podcast that seeks to explore our connection to beverages, alcoholic or otherwise, on an emotional, intimate, and personal level. I am your host, Elliot Lerner. We are an Art Phoenix Studios podcast production. Each episode features a different guest bringing in a different beverage that has had some significance in their life, be it their first legal drink or maybe just a particular cup of coffee that they need to start their day. Rate the podcast 5 stars and review where you can. And, while you're at it, follow us on Instagram at Cheers to You Pod, and you can also follow my individual account, Elliot Lerner, ELLIOTLERNER, or on Twitter at Lerner Elliot, LERNER, ELLIOT. Please don't misspell that. I'm not repeating myself. I never repeat myself. My guest this week is stupid. Matt McLean. Matt's a Chicago McLean, right?
McLean.
McLean. Yeah. Okay, sorry. I just realized I went the hard. The real E sound. Sorry.
Yeah,
sorry.
I don't even hear it anymore. It just glosses over me at this point.
Yeah, I apologize. All right, Matt McLean. Matt's a Chicago stand-up comedian, originally from Duluth, Minnesota, and he currently hosts the Tuesday open mic at the Logan Square Improv, and also is the co-producer of 2 weeks notice every second Thursday of the month at Low Res Brewing Company in Pilsen. That's L-O-R-E-Z Brewing. In Pilsen, Chicago, Illinois. Pilsen, is that separate from... I never know.
I feel like people like to specify.
Specify, like, I'm about to get beat up by a bunch of original Chicagoans. Yeah. Matt, thanks for joining me. I apologize for that long-winded intro.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Elliot.
Yeah, bud. Shit.
This is... there's a water bottle lighting up right now. I got this prototype from a buddy. And he like works at a water bottle company.
Okay.
And it's supposed to tell you when to drink water.
Okay. That's okay. Wait. So like, does it go off like every? Okay. So if I can describe it, it's like kind of a pale white. It kind of looks like a salt lamp in color, and then it's like flashing green. Like a bright neon green.
Also like a salt lamp.
Also like a salt lamp. Are you sure you just didn't get a salt lamp?
I think it's a water bottle. I've been using it as such.
All right.
It like hooks up to an app and tells you when to drink water. It's a hydrate water bottle. Let's give them a plug for that company. But yeah, test it out and, you know, track your progress and like see if you like it. And
okay.
It's good.
Hydrate water?
Yeah. H-I-D-R-A-T-E.
H-I-D-R-A-T-E. Okay. Yeah, well, there you go. Follow Hydrate Water Company on all your social media platforms. I'm into it. It's just, it was a little jarring.
I don't know if I'd buy one, but I kind of like using it so far.
I like the concept. I drink water pretty regularly, so I don't know if I would need that. And also, I don't like to stand out that much.
I kind of forgot about that feature.
I kind of wear I'll wear flashy sneakers, but that's as much as I get in terms. Like, I don't want something like flashing neon being like, hey, look at me in a public space.
Yeah. If I can figure out how to turn that setting off, I'm a little embarrassed right now. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little bit self-conscious that a water bottle I brought with technology in it just lit up on the table.
I mean, it makes sense if like you're like, oh yeah, it's this cool feature where like you can ride your bike. And it sort of lights up as you're riding your bike. But I don't know if I could. Yeah, I might be a little embarrassed to say, like, yeah, it reminds me to drink water.
Yeah.
Like every hour, like get your water in.
Are you like a metric person? Do you like tracking, like going to the gym and like jotting down the metrics and like tracking improvement type of thing, like with that?
I used to, and I didn't really get anything out of it. So now I just kind of like, I go in and do, like, I'll have an idea, like I'll have a skeleton script, so to speak, of like workout, things I want to focus on in my workout. And then I just kind of go from there and see what my body likes. Cause I got a really tight back. So like, I'll be like, oh, I want to do legs. And then I have to make adjustments for what kind of leg exercises I do.
Oh yeah. So like, if this is hurting, I'm going to switch to this.
Yeah. 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 So like, instead of like doing squats, I'll like do lunges.
Yeah.
But that's enough about my workout routine. I'm always happy to share, but that's for the Patreon episode that doesn't exist, because I don't have enough devoted followers. So just out of curiosity, because I think we've met a handful of times at various open mics. Who are you is what I want to know. How is your upbringing, your travels, and yeah, your background sort of shaped you to become the stand-up comedian you are today?
Ooh, yeah. Well, yeah, like you said, I'm from Duluth, Minnesota originally. And then, I think that was, I'm definitely way different now. I think I'm 29 now than I was like kind of growing up. It was a very like macho environment. Okay. So like very, it's a pretty like liberal space for like the surrounding area up there. Like Minnesota's pretty like blue, but it was very like hockey centric kind of environment, and like it was pretty emotionally stunted for like most of my 20s. Was like, did not want to talk about like any sort of personal information. Was like kind of just big drinker. That was a big, partly why I wanted to be on here. Was a big drinker in high school and like in college, and didn't really know kind of what I wanted to do. I was kind of following the script of like what I was supposed to be doing for a while.
You play football and all that, or hockey, or?
I was not like good enough to play hockey. It was like really competitive. I ended up like shooting up to like, I'm like 6'2", so I like got all my height in like eighth grade.
Oh wow, okay. And so like you were great in like basketball and all that, just because like they were like, we need height.
We just need a tall guy.
Yeah.
And it was like eighth grade, I just crushed, and then everyone got skill in ninth grade. And
like 6'2" is like you'd be a small point guard in the NBA.
Yeah. Like, that's not big if you're gonna like make it. But if everyone's playing hockey and then all the leftovers are playing basketball, you got a shot.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah. You don't have to worry about balance at that point, just general balance.
Yeah.
You don't have to relearn how to move on ice.
And that was, learn a whole new mode of transportation. And it's just insane trying to, I try to play hockey with my buddies when I go back, and it just, even the ones that weren't hockey players are just insane. It's just like being in that environment that you just like soak it in somehow. I don't know. But I played like basketball and baseball in high school. So I was really into like sports, and was always into comedy though, like growing up. Like I had that like some comedy best friends in middle school that were just like some of the funniest people I've met to this day. Like still when I go back, like I'm like crying, laughing, hanging out with them. So that definitely like shaped the comedic sensibility, I think, or that interest.
Would you guys watch like comedy specials together? Because I remember growing up with my friends, we would watch like Dane Cook or listen to Jim Gaffigan or you know, something like that. Like I just remember like watching stand up specials with them because they were all really into it, and that's I think kind of shaped me getting into stand up.
Yeah.
But is that something that you guys would just sit around and shoot the shit all day? And
it was a lot of shooting the shit. It was a lot of like watching every movie that came out. We like loved, I mean, like when Superbad came out, I was a senior in high school, and that was like groundbreaking for us. I think we got like really into Dane Cook, Retaliation.
I feel like, Dane Cook was really instrumental for like, you know, those 14, 13-year-old kids.
Oh yeah.
Cause he's just, he was like different than any other stand up I'd seen.
Yeah, and Jim Gaffigan too. I think the first album I got, my dad gave me a Larry the Cable Guy album, and that was like my first comedy, like stand-up specific introduction. And then it was like Dane Cook, Jim Gaffigan was kind of mind-blowing. And then, we had like our movie theater was super easy to sneak into, so if you parked in the parking ramp, you could kind of enter behind the ticket guy.
Okay.
Like they just had a real big blind spot in the movie theater. And so we just like walked buy every time.
Yeah.
So we just, for like 2 years, we saw movies for free every time.
Oh, shit.
It was crazy. Yeah, I just didn't think about it.
So wait, what was? Do you remember the first movie you saw illegally? Because I grew up in like a small city, and they were like, they knew. They were like, we can't let these kids on the weekend sneak into this movie theater. So they were like, they had it locked down hard. Like, they just had like grumpy ass adults like on all corners being like, you got your ticket? You got your ticket?
Because everyone's going to, like, every kid's going to try.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, how do they not?
Yeah.
I think it was like Duluth was like 86,000. So maybe it was like big enough where they were getting families in for the most part. Mm-hmm. And they just didn't see us going or something. But
yeah. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Or I think to answer your question was like, I think it was Clerks 2 might have been one of the first ones I saw illegally, like in that junior, senior year stretch. And I remember that one was like one where I'm like, oh my God, I didn't see Clerks beforehand.
Yeah.
And that was like just crying, laughing. I remember it was so raunchy. It was like one of the most raunchy movies I'd kind of seen before. Or like, I don't think I'd seen much before that, but it was like, I remember there was a girl and her mom sitting in the row in front of us. They didn't know what it was either. And they get to that, there's a scene where they have like a donkey show going on in there. Have you seen the movie?
No. I'm more familiar with what a donkey show is than I am with Clerks 2.
So pretty raunchy stuff.
Yeah.
and the girl, like, and the mom, like, gets up and, like, just walks out at that point, like, just absolutely disgusted. And the girl, like, looks back at, there's like eight of us in the back row and just, like, it was like, yeah, not a good one to bring your mom to in the middle of the movie. We're like, yeah, I'm feeling your pain. That is got to be the worst thing to sit through with a parent. But yeah, I remember that. I think that might have been one of the first ones.
I remember I'm trying to remember the first movie I snuck into. It was with my friends. It was in high school, and we just like went to see like Clash of the Titans and then like stuck around and then snuck into like a different movie that came out like right around Clash of the Titans. I couldn't remember what it was because I fell asleep during Clash of the Titans. And I think I fell asleep during the second movie too. But I remember walking out with my dad from the Flintstones movie when I was like seven. Have you ever walked out of a movie? Because I feel like sneaking in is one thing, but like walking out of a movie is like such a completely different feeling where you're just like, this is complete horseshit.
Yeah. And you get antsy.
Yeah.
And, like, rarely I've done that though, but I think there's been like one or two times where it's just like, yeah, you're just miserable and you're like, I can't do this anymore.
Was it with a parent or like a date or?
I think it was with a parent too.
Okay.
It might have been as
a
kid. And like my parents made the call and they're like, no one's enjoying this.
Yeah.
Like, let's get out of here.
Last time we take our son to see Serbian film.
Yeah. It's usually that. It's usually like, was mom like, this isn't appropriate. We gotta, get him out of here.
What was the first R-rated movie you saw?
Ooh, I always want to say Titanic, but that wasn't R.
Yeah.
I think it just had a boob in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
but.
What a movie it was.
And I've never seen
that. Great boob. Sorry.
A great boob. A solid boob. For your first boob. I think that was the first boob I saw.
It was a solid boob.
Yeah. And that was in theaters too. So that was Jumbotron boob.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was like, that was big time for the first one. but I think first R movie, maybe Terminator?
Okay.
That might have been it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
Starship Troopers in theaters.
Oh.
Starship Troopers is the earliest one I can remember.
Yeah.
My dad took it to me when it came out. And yeah, I remember seeing like R-rated movies on HBO and not really remembering what they were. Like the names of them, just like kind of like watching them. But then I definitely remember Starship Troopers was like the one that stood out the most. Just because like there were a lot of boobs in that too.
There were, weren't they?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of good violence too. It was just like crazy.
That's a good first one where you're like, that is everything a kid wants in a movie.
It was silly. It was like serious. It was intense. It was just like, I was like, this is great. My dad's like, all right. Mm.
Yeah. Great action scene.
Yeah. So you're kind of like, I guess you're kind of like a jock in a sort of way in high school.
Yeah.
But like jock light. In a way?
It was like weird. Like my friend group was kind of a bit of like misfits where it was we all like played sports, but we all were kind of like nerdy. And we also like to drink. Whereas like the jocks in our high school were all kind of, I feel like, Just pure jock. Like they're like, we're not drinking. We're on a track. We're gonna get, you know, drafted by something, and we're gonna be straight edge.
Oh shit! I thought, you know, I always assumed that they'd be like the, because all the jocks in my hometown were like all like, we're gonna get drafted. We're gonna lift weights. We're gonna do steroids, and we're gonna drink a shit ton.
Yeah, that seems like the normal one. Whereas like ours were like the lorded like pinnacles of the youth, and I don't know, we weren't into it for some. We were just like, yeah, we like playing sports, but we also want to go to the cabin and get drunk, and like that was the big. We just go to have cabin parties. And
did you have a cabin?
I did not. Okay. No, I mooched off.
But you have friends.
Yeah, that's the key.
It's kind of like a boat. Like you don't want to have the boat. You want to have a buddy with a boat. You want to be the guy that brings the 30 rack.
Yeah.
Onto the boat.
Yeah, because it was like I went to like a all religions private school.
Oh. Okay.
But it was like
interesting.
You know, kind of on the lower end of the spectrum, where it's like I was on like financial aid, but it was always like everyone had a lot of money, but there was also like the half and half of like. People that didn't have as much, but so I had those friends that had the cabins. And
yeah,
so
you don't want to make friends with the poor kids. If you're poor, you don't want to be friends with other poor kids, especially when you're surrounded by kids with money. You want to be friends with the kids with money because they have the cabins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the poor, like, they were the funny kids usually. So it's we got to have them around.
Yeah. Yeah. But, like, you know, don't, like, you gotta have a balance, like 70-30. Like, let's be real. That was my mistake, was I didn't have enough rich friends. I should have made more rich friends.
Gotta make the rich friends.
Yeah.
Man, what were you doing?
I only had one with a boat. What was I doing? I should have made friends with more rich kids with more boats.
You gotta have a Friday boat friend, Saturday boat friend.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I had like once a month boat friend.
And
so,
so you grew up in Wisconsin.
No, I grew up in North Carolina. Sorry,
North Carolina.
Born in Wisconsin.
Born in Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, boating's big there too, right?
Yeah,
like that
yeah,
lake
yeah.
culture is.
Yeah,
big.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Drive out to Lake Norman.
There you go.
Because I was smack dab in the middle. But you drive, you know, an hour and a half out to the lake, there you go. But I wasn't friends with enough of the rich kids. Yeah, I fucked up in that regard.
We like had it too good, where I had like a system down, whereas I had, because I was the one that also bought beer for everyone.
Oh, okay.
In high school.
How'd you get away with that?
So that's a bit of a story too.
Okay,
and that ties in with the drink of choice for today. Yeah.
All right.
And so there was. We had a foreign exchange students come in, and so this was like the first time I ever bought booze was like junior year, and I didn't really have a thing with anyone. I was kind of like blended in with everyone, also because I'm like very generic looking. I like blended in with everyone, and so I, the foreign exchange students were. Like looking to kind of go out, and they're all from Germany. They're like, well, you can't like drink it. They were shocked. They're like, where do you guys get booze normally? And we're like, it's not that easy. Like usually we got to get it with a brother or something. So my idea was to like photo, they have these like big IDs that don't look like normal IDs. So my idea was to like photocopy one of theirs. Cause like no one in Duluth would know what the difference was and just change the dates in Microsoft Paint. And then print it out and laminate it.
That's the most like high school fucking thing where it's just like, we don't have Photoshop, but we got Microsoft Paint at the library.
Yeah, let's hammer this out in an hour and see if we can drive up to Office Max and get it laminated.
Shit, what's the type? What's the font here? What's the font that they use? Like, just keep
Career New.
Is it that was... Garamond?
So we ended up like printing it out and like changing the face around because like the foreign exchange students were kind of like, we don't want to do this. I'm like, fine, I'll do it. I'll put my face in there. So I have this like terrible chop job of a face cut
half
out.
Of your cheek is missing.
Just the colors don't match up at all. It's not even my neck, it's the dude's neck and his shirt. So it's just horrible. And like go up to Office Max, I'm like, can I get this laminate, it's for a student project, like we got to make our own version of a German ID. And he's like, yeah, dude, I don't care. I make minimum wage. Just like,
you're giving away too much detail.
Yeah.
Instead of just being like, may I have this laminated, please?
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, come, yeah, I get what you're doing, dude.
Yeah. He's like, what do you care? What do I care? Like, people probably do this all the time. But it was like 79 cents. I'm like, that was a steal. That's the best investment I ever made. So I go to the liquor store and. Nervous wreck. I'm 17 and you're buying out, like, this is just a Herculean type. I'm like, I don't, know if I want to do this. That people got to like pump me up in the car. They're like, you got this, like, go in there. And I was like, I tried to look as German as possible. So I like slicked back my hair and like wore a like tight white t-shirt to try to just look. I'm like, this is what Europeans do, right?
I like how the, like, it's like you Googled Germans in the 1990s.
What is like and a you're punk like, German?
Shit, where can I find JNCO jeans?
Yeah. Damn, I certainly got like my American Eagles. I'll have to do.
It's like, oh, he's wearing a tight shirt with a V-neck. Yeah, it's must yeah. be German.
I think I even rolled up a pack of smokes in my arm, which isn't. A
oh,
German.
You're a greaser. You're a greaser.
Yeah. I'm like, maybe just greaser is close
you're
enough.
You're a greaser from the 1950s.
Yeah, walked in snapping, like.
You walk in like, hey, I'm buying some booze for Pony Boy and. The boys.
Yeah, Pony, that was weirdly my best friend, was Pony Boy.
No kidding. Yeah.
Yep. And so Pony Boy sent me in there with a vote of confidence, and I, you know, was just, like, shaking and, you know, walked in there, and, like, the name on my ID was, like, my foreign exchange, maybe I shouldn't say his name, actually, but it was, like...
Just say Dieter or something.
Yeah, Dieter, yeah.
Like Hans.
Yeah, so it wasn't my name, or wasn't, like, an American, it was, yeah, the German name, and I remember like putting a case of Michelob Golden Light, that was like our go-to light beer, on the counter.
That's funny.
And this was like the one place where like it was a pretty shady liquor store. You gotta pick like the shadiest ones. We knew like this, if anyone's gonna work, it's gonna be this one. And put the like 24 pack on there, and the guy's like, yeah, hand me your ID. And I hand it to him like trembling, just absolutely trembling. Like the ID is shaking back and forth, and he looks at it and he's like, do you have anything else? Like, I don't think this will work. And you have like a passport? And I'm like, no, it's our like ID card. We don't like to carry around passports because I don't want to lose them while I'm studying abroad. And he's just like, yeah, that makes sense, I guess. Like, if this is all you got, I'm like, oh, yeah, kann ich have a pint of Jägermeister, too? And I had a little bit of German from my high school, so I had some, like, broken German to throw in. He's like, all right, put some Jägermeister. I'm like, yeah, order something German-sounding. Like, that'll really sell it more, being like, all Germans drink Jägermeister, for sure. And, like, yeah, and it worked. And it was just, I mean, that was one of the biggest highs, I think.
Shit.
Comedy or and otherwise.
That's, like, that's one of those, like, things that's, like, you got more pumped up to buy booze than I think you got pumped up to, like, play a basketball game.
Yes.
Like, it's yeah. crazy. Like, that's – and not only that, but you sunk the game winner by buying a thing of Jägermeister as well.
Yeah, on top I got of
it.
Extra.
So it's like you come back with your buddies. You got the case. They're like, dude, that's so awesome. It worked. And then you're like, boom.
Yeah.
Here you go.
What's up, guys?
There you go.
Yeah, we're about to rage tonight. We're about to show these Germans an amazing American time at a cabin. And, yeah, I should have known. I don't think I ever put this together, but it's like that was – I was way more into that and, like, remember that more than, like, any game I played. I'd be like, maybe you like performances. Like, maybe you should try to get into this, yeah, of, like, some kind of performance aspect. Because that was, like – I mean, kind of like my first performance. I didn't, like, do plays or, like, anything like that. Mm-hmm. In high school, and then, but it's like, yeah, that felt amazing.
When did you start drinking?
I think when I was 14 or 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Parents or with friends?
With friends, yeah. So my, like, best friend and I, we got into the booze pretty early on.
Okay.
And it was, so now, like, my best friend in high school was, now I know, he was a closeted gay man at the time. So okay. And he was also grew up Catholic. We went to a Catholic school. He went there till 8th grade. I went there till 5th grade. So we had all this Catholic regret and repression.
Yeah, especially in the cold north.
In the cold north, yeah. Not a very supportive environment for it. And he, like, also, yeah, like, just had, you know, kind of a strict upbringing, too. So he was, like, really an anxious person. So I think he was – and I had kind of a taste for it, too. And so that, like, coupled together, we were, like, boosted. We, like, got into it quick. We're, like, we got to find some ways to drink. So we were always, like, tandem, like, trying to find – so I think that was, like, 15. We went to a party, like, rode our bikes there and, like, had to buy beer off of, like, some guy there and – yeah, that was I think that was the first time.
Was it like an old like was it a high school party that you bought the boot like an older kid's high school party or was it like a college kid party?
Yeah,
I don't know if there's any colleges up in Duluth, Minnesota, but
big college town actually.
Oh, it's, really?
Yeah, University of Minnesota Duluth's there in Saint Scholastica. Okay, that's kind of its main. Yeah, it's kind of a college town.
There's egg on my face for that. It's
there. Yeah, it's I would say go visit, but maybe not.
Yeah.
And yeah, he like, so we rode our bikes to a like seniors party.
Okay.
Which was a ballsy move as a freshman. Like that.
You keep like shooting your shot at these like,
yeah,
like,
I was
social moments.
So much cooler as a like freshman in high school than I am now. Like way more nervous now. Yeah, I think we like bought booze off of a senior there who was a very nice guy and like walked us out to the trunk of his car, like selling beer out of the trunk, like great high school move,
yeah.
You know, that type of thing.
Yeah, well, you kind of lucked out then in that regard, just because, you know, he's a good guy.
He's so a good guy.
It's not like I'm sure he upcharged you.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you have no idea. I feel like, do you remember when you bought booze for the first time, like what you would pay for stuff? Like, it was just.
Well, so I didn't start drinking until I got to college.
Okay.
So, or like I was like a senior in high school, like graduating. So.
So the appropriate.
I had good friends. So they were like, hey, give me like $15, $20, and I'll go like buy you a fifth of whatever. Yeah. So it was, I was paying market price for everything.
Okay. That's good.
But I didn't start drinking until I was 18. What was it like? You get like a six pack and you gave them like what, like $12, $15 or something like that?
Probably, yeah. I think it was just like 20 flat for like whatever you asked
for.
And they'd be like, oh yeah, get us some vodka, and you come back with like a pint of Grey Wolf or something, and you're like, yeah, it's $20, man.
Who are you to say? It's sort of like the shady liquor store. It's like they can't really knock you for the not having the passport, because it's like, I'm sure if they were to call the cops and be like, hey, there's this underage kid pretending to be a foreign exchange student, can you come out and get him? The cops come, then they have to like inspect the store, because I'm sure there's some shady shit going on there too. So I'm sure the guy was just like, you know what? I'll take their word for it. You know, get them on their way.
There was like, real quick, there was a sting too. I read, or like, whoa, someone told me in the paper, like years after we had been going to this liquor store for a long time, that like an undercover cop went in and like, if they didn't ask for his like ID or something, they busted him, like one of those things. Like, five liquor stores in Duluth failed, that one passed.
Really?
That was the one, because they did card me.
Oh, yeah, so they did, technically.
Passed first level, at least.
Yeah, I remember one of my friends, I won't name their name, but one of my friends was liquor store bait. Like, they would go in and try to buy booze, and if the guy behind the counter was just like, yeah, here you go, without, like, carding them or even carding them and knowing that they were underage, my friend would go out to the cop car and be like, yeah, they, like, he would get, like, that was part of his part-time job in high school.
Really?
And, like,
so that was probably what they were
doing.
Yeah, this sting. It's like, some, like, 17-year-old or whatever to do that. Yeah.
I that blew my mind when I found out that was happening, because I was like, shit, what if he tries to bust me?
Yeah, how do you, I feel like that's drinking. Something you only get when you get, like, caught underage drinking. They're like, look, the only way you're going to pay this ticket off is you got to work for us now. And, like, you get roped in or something.
Yeah, that'd be, I'm glad I didn't get caught underage drinking.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be working for the Winston-Salem PD. So you started drinking, and it was just more to, like, ease tension, or you just wanted to be cool? Like, what was your approach to alcohol growing up?
I think it was a lot of, like, I couldn't talk to girls at all, so I needed it to be like, okay, there's going to be girls at, like, a cabin party, so let's get annihilated to even attempt a conversation, because then that'll be the top of my personality. That'll be when I'm on my A game, is when I'm falling over. That's when they'll talk to me.
That's what they want.
Yeah, that's what they want.
And if it doesn't work, then you can just be like, oh, yeah, sorry, I was drunk. I didn't mean to.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, no, that's not me. I was just drunk. Sorry.
Yeah. And then, like, playing drinking games, like, that's going to really impress girls, too. Like, if I'm really good at beer pong, or if I'm really good at quarters.
That was my fucking stupid mentality in college.
Yeah.
It was like, if I show them how good I am at beer pong, they're going to want to make out with me.
That's, like, I'm the alpha of this room. Look at that. Like, that's the rules. Like, you got to make out
like,
with this
they
now.
They don't care. They're in the other room talking to the guys who are going to make out with them.
Who are making an
effort. And you're just a moron drinking too much beer playing beer pong.
Yeah.
You're like, look at me.
Till 4 in the morning.
Where are all the girls?
I remember, even like wrestling with my buddy. Or like doing stupid, like just trying to do feats of strength or something in front of girls.
Just,
oh, my God.
The male ego is so weird as it develops, where it's like, yeah, because like I was kind of the same way. Like, I played sports a little bit, but I wasn't particularly good. And then I got out of it, and I got kind of into theater instead. But it was, like, sort of this weird thing where, like, yeah, you want to impress people. So every once in a while, you're just like let's wrestle. Hey, yeah. You and me wrestle in front of these girls. Let's show each other how strong we are.
Yeah.
I was like, no, they don't want anything to do with
it. Let's blast some push-ups here. Let's see if that works out.
Push-up contest.
Yeah. What?
Oh, God.
I'm so jealous, though, of, like, how did you figure out that you're like, I got to get a taste for this theater thing. I got to, like, try to go into that or into something performance-wise, like, skew away from sports. I was petrified to even, like, I think mention it when I had those fleeting thoughts.
I had really bad stage fright growing up, but I really enjoyed acting. Like I knew I wanted to do sports, but I didn't know how to get good at them. Like I would just play them, and I was very competitive. And so I was a pain in the ass to be around because I was like competitive, I wasn't very good. And I was like short and chubby. So it was like, you know, you're just trying your best. But then I was in like a school play in like third grade and just kind of like fell in love with it because it was just so goofy and weird. And it's like, oh, I don't have to be myself.
Yeah.
I can be a reindeer. I can be Comet. And it was just like, oh, this is that's it. Like, and then I started like watching movies and I was like, oh, this is the same thing as what I was doing. Like you can just not do anything else, you can just be another character. That's great. And yeah. I just kind of like fell in with that, where I just sort of enjoyed performing. And yeah, it's like you said, you're kind of like you're stepping outside of yourself a little bit. Like I like doing, like I like, and then I started like forming characters, you know, growing up, as you know, as much as like a 11-year-old can create another character to be goofy in front of their parents for. And
yeah
it's just kind of went from there. And I just and then I realized, oh, you can kiss girls in theater.
Oh, whoa, yeah.
And I was like, I want to do that.
Yeah.
And I had my first kiss on stage, and like first kiss period.
Oh my god.
And yeah, she was gorgeous, and I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Was it like a girl you had a crush on?
I mean, yeah, I have this problem where I have a crush on everybody.
Okay.
but yeah, I definitely had a crush on her because she was like, she's gorgeous, you know, in high school. And I was just like, oh my god, I get to kiss her. Look at me.
Yeah, and it's like I'm gonna absolutely do this for like, and that makes it like justifiable too in like a 15-year-old mind or whatever. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, if anyone makes fun of me for this, like here's the ammo I have.
Yeah.
Like I'm kissing girls, you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get to do this, and if I mess up, I get to do it again.
Yeah.
Like, oh,
oh, sorry.
The director will yell cut and be like, take it from the top. I'm like, because we have to kiss again.
Yeah, I wasn't really feeling that one. Can we do that one 7 or 15 more times?
I wasn't that ballsy. but yeah, and then yeah, I definitely felt more comfortable, like you said, when I started drinking. It did make me a little bit looser. But also I think just like going into college and stepping outside of high school for me it was a completely different mind shift. What was it like drinking when you were a freshman versus a senior? Because I guess you have a bit more control and you get to – were you the beer in the trunk of the car kind of kid?
Yeah. So I became beer in the multiple trunks. So this ID thing took off to where I was supplying like the entire high school.
Oh, shit.
Where it was like almost like a side hustle. So this is like my first.
And that shady little liquor store is like, what are all these fucking German kids doing here?
Oh, my. So I would walk in there every time. And they would start to know me by name, too. They're like, hey, Dieter. Yeah, like, good to see you, man. Yeah. Like, hello, Greg. Like, great to see you, too. And got a big party tonight.
Big party.
Yeah.
All the other German kids were all of age.
Because it was like $200-$300 of booze I was buying, like, every weekend.
Oh, shit. This is serious. You're, like, hustling.
It was like...
This isn't small-time...
Empire type thing.
Yeah, this is... this is, like, American gangster sort of stuff. Yeah. Like...
I felt that way. It probably was pretty like ridiculous to look at me, and I guarantee I was just like really obnoxious about it, like just upcharging the shit out of all the freshmen. And
well, you have to.
Yeah, you gotta. I think
how else are they gonna learn?
Because they also didn't give me receipts, which I think was smart on this liquor store. Either they didn't provide, so I like never knew really what the individual things cost. So I kind of guess. And basically, my rule is like I just get to drink for free and mm-hmm. maybe make like $10. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Which wasn't, I mean, if you're buying for like 20 people, like that's not bad. That's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it ended up being like this huge thing. I would always get like weird amounts of the liquor store where I'd walk in, I'd get like a fifth of Captain Morgan and then like a liter of Captain Morgan 100 and then like a six pack of Coors and a six pack of Bud Light. And he's like, do you want just like a 24, like, do you want just a big queso? I'm like, no, I like to just pepper them around the party in case people like different things. He's like, all right, I guess.
He's
like,
fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, thank God I'm not giving him receipts, otherwise I might get in trouble for this.
Yeah, it looks very sketchy. And I also like walk in with a wad of cash and just the ID, because I'd leave my wallet behind case shit happened. So he's just like, I'm just like spilling cash onto the counter every time. The guy had to be so obvious too.
Oh yeah.
And also I would like come back from Christmas break once I went to college and I wasn't 21 and still go in. And then he'd be like, oh, Dieter, like I haven't seen you in so long. I'll be like, yeah, I went back to Germany and now I'm back visiting. I like having Christmas here with my host family instead. It's like, I guess. Yeah. Welcome back.
Yeah. He's in it deep too. Like they're in the lie as well.
Like, yeah. And they like put an addition on that liquor store too. And I'm not saying I was a direct contributor or like result of it, but we definitely helped that place. I feel like. Yeah.
Yeah.
We put on like a new beer cave. Like,
oh fuck.
I'm like, this is turning around and I'm happy we're supporting local businesses.
I'm sure if you were to go back, they might have like a framed picture of you, just like Dieter, our favorite customer, yeah. Like the best person in Duluth, Minnesota.
They're like resting. They just think he's dead or something. Or it's like, God, man, they're still telling stories about it. Be like, man, he was just so, you know, he's so German, but he
came in here so wide eyed and bushy tailed, and let me tell you, just the nicest guy I've ever met. They're like toasting to you at the bar that they hang out at.
They remembered our names every time. He was just a gem, I tell ya. That Dieter, you know. I've never met a German, so I always thought they were assholes, but that guy proved me wrong.
All I knew about Germans was the Die Hard movie and what they did in World War II. But God damn it, that Dieter.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it.
Just assume they're terrorists or Nazis, but Dieter proved us wrong. So maybe it turned on like a whole populace to German tolerance.
I mean, have you thought about like becoming a cult leader? Because like the way you managed to get them like swayed without questioning anything after a certain point, you could probably...
You know, that's so one funny.
You grow your hair out a little bit.
Yeah.
Really, you know, emphasize the beard a little bit, grow it out a bit. You know, you could...
The funny, I mean, like when I got to freshman year of college, I had an acoustic guitar and I started a full-on cult where I had like a 200 followers and had sex with all of them.
Well, you have to. Well, I mean, yeah, at that point, you got 200. I mean, you might as well just...
It's a respect thing.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to tell you you're the leader unless...
No.
You, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like the beer pong. You have to assert your dominance.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. In the most aggro, you have to assert your dominance. That's the only way. Yeah.
Puff out your chest, tear your shirt off, you know, show that chest hair.
Yeah.
Just keep grunting. What was drinking in college like for you? Was it a... Where did you go to school? And then what was the step off point that you sort of was like, oh shit, this is like an entirely different experience? Or yeah, maybe it wasn't, I don't know.
Oh yeah, it was a whole nother level. So I remember I knew I wanted to go to like a party school, kind of like I did really well in high school and I wanted to be an engineer. Like my grandpa was an engineer and I'm like, this is the track, this is what you do. And like I was into that, so I'm like scientifically minded, like analytical person, so I was pretty interested in it. And so I was looking at like variety of schools, but like Michigan, I remember in like the tour I took with my dad was like just insane. Like I went there and I was like, went to a football Saturday and just saw like the line of, you know, like frats leading up to the stadium and just everyone partying in the yard, like drinking out solo cups. And then like it just put every college I went to shame from that. I'm like, oh my, this is insane. Or like, and I think I went to all the other colleges during like weekdays too.
I'm like,
this must be every day here at Michigan. And like, that was part of my decision making process. But yeah, it was like, Olympic style drinking, most of the time, where it was like, just drank my way through most of college for sure.
Yeah. Did you join a frat or?
I did not. I was still like, very against them. I think I was very probably still afraid people would make fun of me in Minnesota, or like the hard asses I knew being like, oh, like going to the big school and go join in a frat type of thing.
I like how the hard asses are getting on your case for going to a public school. Like, oh, going to the big school, huh? Big tough guy, huh? Little frat boy, huh? Fancy. Oh,
too good,
Greek
too
letters.
Good for the U in Minnesota, huh? You gotta go out to Michigan and pay out of state. Oh, real cool. I remember that was like a big thing. Be like, why are you going? I'm like, I think it's worth it. I think I got to go just get out of Minnesota, you guys. And they're like, what's all? You're too good for it? That was big. Yeah, you're too good for Minnesota. I don't even know if that was really a thing, but maybe that was what I internalized.
I feel like that's kind of like a smaller city kind of thing that like, gives you the right to get out.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a projection.
Small city,
on, like,
small town kind of thing. Yeah.
If I'm staying here mm-hmm. and doing this, like, yeah, why do you have the right to
even
do something else?
If I can't venture out, if I'm too stuck in my own ways, or I'm unsure of how to like make those steps, why are you better than me now?
Yeah. Do you like when you go back home? Do you visit like the buddies that are staying there, and is there some of that tension?
Where no, it's more like everybody I grew up with and was close with, they all are like out doing their own thing. So there was never any like weird issue or tension with any of my guy friends. The ones that are like still staying around, they're more laid back. So it's not really ever an issue. The kids that I know like were like, I'm going to stay in Winston forever. I was never friends with them.
Oh yeah.
Just cause it was like, I don't know. I growing up, I knew I had to get out of Winston. So
yeah, back then you knew, I'm going to hang around the people that are like driven to get out of here.
Yeah. I was like, I hung out with the people who were like type A and like very ambitious. Cause I'm like type B+. So I'm like less ambitious, but I know I want it. I just don't know how to get it. So I hung out with the people who were like, I know I'm going to do this, this, and this, and I'm going to get out by any means necessary.
Yeah, that was so huge. Like, you had to find those folks, I feel mm-hmm. like. It took me a while growing up, I think, to find that. There were so many people who are like, yeah, this is fine. This is just what you do, and you live and die here, and it's all right. And, yeah, like, having that commiseration, being like, mm-hmm. no, we're getting out of here. Like, we're doing something else.
I feel like that's very much like I think part, it's like that definitely happens around like bar culture, because I feel like that happens at pubs in cities like that, where you get to be 21 and then you start hanging out at the bar, and that's how you become like a townie, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
somebody who never who would never leave, and you'd be like one of those, you become one of those guys that's like, oh, it gives you the right to get out of here. Because I definitely saw those at Winston-Salem.
Oh, yeah.
like the older bitter, like guys who would the most they ever got out of Winston-Salem was like to go to Greensboro, which is like 45 minutes outside of the city.
Okay.
And they went there for college and they came straight back.
Right.
Yeah. And Winston's a driving city. So I don't know like how the fuck they're getting to these like specific bars, but they're getting there and then they're just hanging out there. And then you show up and they look at you and they're like, what's this weirdo doing here? It's like, motherfucker, I've lived here since I was 4. Like,
yeah.
You know, they're like, oh, so you college kid. It's like, yeah, but I've been here since I was 4. Like, fuck off. Like, don't talk to me about this. Like what are you giving
like
me
shit for?
Like, you
don't know the city anymore either. I mean, like, I have 18 years under my belt to this place.
Yeah, like, it's like, good. Like, never been to the Fox and Hound because it's in a fucking pavilion. Like, who wants to go to a bar in a pavilion? Like, I don't know. But, sorry.
Yeah, I'm like, I think like just going, that's the hardest time I have, like going to smaller towns. I get that like itchiness and sense of dread mm-hmm. when I go into those like small bars and I see the people that are just like entrenched in there, or those like the Denny's on the highway or something.
Yeah.
Like, who the fuck lives in this town?
Yeah.
Like, come on. And I get like sad. I'm like, I want to shake everyone loose.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I think it's just that I do have like that itchiness of like, a fear of like at any moment I could have to move back home with my parents
mm-hmm.
type of thing, of like all this could evaporate, all this of like living in Chicago glamorously, but like just that fear of like
complacency and abandoning the dream kind of thing.
Right.
Yeah definitely I'd associate that with like drinking, unfortunately, but like also just like I don't know, like you lose ambition and you get complacent. What motivates you to keep like pursuing comedy then, and to keep like writing and you know, staying in Chicago or wherever the next step is?
Yeah, it is tough a lot of the time, of like getting to mics and like keeping the thing going every day, trying to do something every day. I do have like a lot of depressive voices that come in that I'm trying to, you know, work on those on the side in like therapy, and trying to figure out, okay, how do I diminish the like snake voice saying like, you're a piece of shit if you're not the top, like you might as well give up everything. And like, I have this very either or style thinking of like, you haven't gotten Conan, so you're the worst comedian ever.
And everyone's gotten Conan. Every fucking person's gotten Conan. I don't have Conan.
Yeah. Yeah, which is... It sounds so silly saying out loud, but it's so vocal in my own head.
Yeah.
Like, every day. So it's like trying to fight that voice and just knowing, like, okay, I got the things in my routines that I know work. So it's just trying to, like, remember, like, the guy in Memento being, like, looking at, like, post-its or, like, on my arms. Like, okay, I know if I, like, exercise and I eat this way and I meditate and I am writing and, like, just getting to do a set, even if I feel like shit and I don't have anything fresh or I'm excited about, if I just do all these things in a day, like, one or two days, I'll get out of this thing and I'll ramp out of it. Yeah.
That's good. How long have you been meditating for?
I think about 2 years.
Okay. Yeah. Transcendental or?
So I started off with like the Headspace app and like, okay, I would just do like 9 minutes a day or 10 minutes, whatever that was, until it ran out. So I kind of do that of like counting my breath and just focusing on my breath. And I don't know if it's like transcendental technically, like I never did the classes or anything like that. But I do just kind of, you know, try to read about tips and tricks for not like getting sleepy or like trying to not engage with the monkey mind and just like coming back to the breath and just the way I look at it is like every time I get like distracted and then like remember what I'm doing and like trying to meditate, it's just like a bicep curl. So every time I return back and remember like, okay, think about your breath, that's just like another workout. So I just take that as a win if I'm doing that for like, I think I do like 18 minutes in the morning now.
Okay. And you've been doing that for about 2 years. Has there ever been like a situation with your schedule where it's become like a challenge, or when did it become a routine? I'm mostly asking because like I realized the only time I could ever figure out like get close to any sort of meditative state was when I was doing hot yoga.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it was like such a challenge, but like an individual thing versus like in a gym. But otherwise, like I cannot, I've tried, like I can't shut my brain off. No matter, and I've tried to meditate, but it's never worked for me. So I'm kind of asking like, how?
I was
that's,
pretty.
That's cry for help.
So how does
this
it go?
It's just like a cry for help.
Like the first hint at it I got was like, I think at work they did like a yoga, free yoga session. And I had the first like commute home I used to drive to work in Chicago, like on Fullerton, which is just a nightmare, as you probably know, of like trying to weave in and out of that street, like 40 minutes every day or back and forth. So it was like the first ride home on that hellacious stretch where I was like almost blissful and like not pissed off. And I remember thinking like, oh, if yoga, like this hour yoga got me there, like I gotta look into some other stuff. So I think that's kind of how I stumbled through meditation. And then maybe to more specifically answer your question of like, I think
my question of help
of like help, how do I shut the brain off, I think it's just like that it became a routine of like I noticed myself, because I had a lot of anger issues before that too, so I noticed myself not snapping at people and my anger like almost diminishing if I just would keep at it for like a couple weeks at a time. I'm like, oh, clearly there's something, even if I think I'm really bad at it and I'm not turning off my brain and it's still running wild, like something is working here that I gotta just keep at. And now I'm like, if I go home especially, I'm like, I have to meditate or I'm gonna like lose it with my family.
Well, I'm about to head home at the end of January, so maybe I should take up some meditation, because the last time I went home it was real bad.
How long did you go for?
Just like a week, but I had like some real bad panic attacks while I was there.
Oh man.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Thank you. I am a martyr. That's really what I brought you on for, help and to show that I'm a martyr. So you've mentioned you had anger issues, and I have anger issues.
Oh, there we go.
And I was wondering, have you always had them? Like, when you were growing up, did you have like anger issues, or did it sort of develop? Because I'm kind of curious. Like, I know drinking exacerbates my anger issues, but I've always been an angry person too. So I was just wondering, did it sort of come out of drinking, or was it just always like you growing up being frustrated and antsy and not wanting to fall into this like small town thing, Is that where it developed? I don't want to get too much into the psychology of it. I'm not smart enough to
I've done a fair amount of like diving in and like trying to get in the psychology of it, but I don't have it nearly figured out either. I think if I drinking can exacerbate it, but I'm usually a very happy drinker, which is good and bad, where I don't really have any like downside to stop drinking, so I can kind of I've gotten away with just being blackout a lot and like people telling me afterwards, like, oh, we had like an amazing conversation last night. I have no memory of it.
What are you going to book me for that show?
And I'm just like, oh, I really wish I would have remembered meeting all these people. But there isn't like, so I mean, there are times when I'm like, I have a issue and I got to like work on not drinking. But there's not like that thing I can put my finger on that's like I'm not like punching people and I'm not like getting
right
fights.
I'm not either, for the record. I'd like to just say, like, I'm not
punching people like Elliot just did when I walked in here. Like, he was in a fist fight outside.
Well, to be fair, you know, the guy was looking at me, you know what I mean? Like,
I wasn't there for that part. I just saw got there when he was on the ground and you were like beating him against the sidewalk.
Well, like I said, he was looking at me. I mean, maybe, I don't know, like, his head was like, it was facing the other way, but I think he was looking at me.
Yeah,
you know,
like,
I mean?
It almost Exorcist style, went all the way around to look at you funny.
I think he might have been an owl.
It was either someone really bundled up,
because
it's cold out right now,
it is,
or it was just a straight owl.
It might have been, I don't know. Look, it's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I'm no ophthalmologist. I think that's what
you aren't. Technically, you aren't. But yeah, no.
Ornithologist. That's what I was searching for. For the bird. God damn it.
I was like, yes, I'm about the eyes, man. Yeah, I guess so.
I can kind of works in both ways. Yeah. But no, Elliot has been very sweet to me since I walked in. That was not true. Okay. For the record, you did not assault someone. I feel like I'm about to get accosted by the police, but
no, I'd be the one accosted, because then they'd be like, where's the body? It's like, oh, they flew away.
Yeah. They tend to do that.
I was just kind of curious, because I know, like, for me, it's a lot of competition stuff and definitely parental stuff kind of exacerbate my anger issues. But yeah, I'm kind of if I'm in a state. I have no like outlet for it, I will get angry. Like, I know if I have a bad set some nights, I will get like unreasonably angry at myself.
Yeah.
You know, but I never, like, unless somebody's like bothering the shit out of me, I never project my anger on anyone else. It's always internalized.
Right. I'm the same way. All internal. And like, it wasn't like, I think it was that frustration of like, growing up and like not, I couldn't articulate any emotion. Like, I never talked to anyone growing up about like anything real. I was just bottling everything up as a good, you know, Midwesterner would do. And it was like, that frustration, not articulating, I wouldn't like, I avoided confrontation a lot. And I think I was frustrated by that when people were picking on me, and I would back down, and then I'd beat myself up for being like a little bitch about it. It's got to be a better word for that now, but it was like just beating myself up. I'm like, oh, you're such a piece of shit. Like, you should stick up for yourself. And then it would just be that spiral of like self-hatred and not being able to talk to anyone about it. Yeah. And I think that's part of, and I think it was that itchiness to get out and like being frustrated of like, all right, I got to like make something of myself and like get out of this town. And I'm seeing, and then so like even after college, I had, you know, was kind of angry, and I moved to another small town after college.
So you go Duluth, Ann Arbor, right?
Ann Arbor. Yep. And then studied engineering, and then I was like, okay, this is the truth. You gotta like get a engineering job. You like gotta get you know, into a Fortune 100 company. Like, that's what you do. Get in a leadership program. And so I ended up moving to Benton Harbor, Michigan, which is like similar size to Duluth on the lake there. And for like a good engineering company. But I remember just having that same itchiness of like looking at people like all getting married after like 6 months of moving there, like just finding someone and like getting hitched, settling down, and like, this is it. Like, this is, you can see your track for the next 40 years. You know exactly what's ahead of you. You know exactly where you're going to live and everyone you're going to hang out with. And that just terrified me.
Yeah.
And I got very, like, angry and frustrated again. So I think it is that, like, feeling stuck gets me the angriest. Yeah.
Where did the shift happen from, like, okay, I'm going to be an engineer, to discovering, like, stand-up? As an
I got fired from it. So I moved to Chicago for an engineering job. Okay. Because I was like, I got to get out of this fucking place. Yeah. I'm like, I'm done with this. And then I was visiting Chicago, moved here for a job. Thought it was like my dream job. I was like designing toys.
Oh, shit.
And I'm like, I've literally dreamed about this since I was a kid. I'm like, this is like Santa's workshop. And, you know, turns out it was just like any other corporate job. Mm-hmm. Or it's just like, instead of like, you know, instead of having year-end goals, you're like, well, your dreams weren't quite aligned. You're like having these weird metrics. Like there wasn't like an engagement committee. There was like a smile squad. So it's like, it's a little like,
no.
So it was the same stuff, just like rebranded.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just, I think, realizing like, okay, I'm not, not too into this like corporate thing. Mm-hmm. And I end up getting fired from that job.
Okay.
Like it was, in a relationship that was kind of tanking at the time, and got fired at the same time. Like it was the same month.
Yeah.
And Jesus. So just went into this like reevaluation of what do I want to do with my life? If maybe this isn't it, mm-hmm. or I've been doing what I was supposed to, I was dating the girl I was supposed to, I was doing the job I was supposed to, and all of it was making me miserable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, kind of reading about like, oh, maybe you should think back to like, what did you do compulsively before the age of 10 was something I kind of read in some book. Oh, it might've been like Scott Adams, book.
what a heel turn that took.
What
did you do compulsively before you were 10? And also, have you thought about how women are just awful pieces of shit who will just ruin your life?
Have you thought about how Trump's wall is a good thing?
let me explain through Dogbird.
So was at least found some sort of solace through that and was like, okay, I got to figure out something. Like I've always been obsessed with comedy. And, you know, that's all I love doing. I like love drawing comics and things growing up, and I always liked telling stories and have been told like, oh, you're a good storyteller, like in bars or like people be like, tell those. Then I was like, okay, I think I've gotten enough feedback to where maybe I should try stand up because it's been in the back of my mind. It's been itching at me. And so I got on stage the first time at the Blackout Diaries. Have you ever done that show? And they had like real people or comics can go up. So I like pitched him a story of, you know, just an outrageous drinking story. I got like, was running from the cops in college and got hit by a taxi and getting away.
Wait, okay. I'm going to remember. Okay. Sorry. Keep going.
Okay.
So you do the Black Hat Diaries.
Yes.
Okay. Sorry. Keep talking.
Yeah. I don't know if we have time for the whole, like it is a lengthy one. I can give the bullet points for it too. I don't want to, just ramble on about
that.
So
you do the Blackout Diaries.
Do the Blackout Diaries and was the closest thing to like just a big gong in my head going off of like, you gotta do this. You gotta figure out how to do it. Like, it was just had this just total moment of clarity on stage. I was just shitting myself the whole day before. I was like rehearsing, like sweating in my, and I had like just diarrhea the whole day like leading up to it.
Yeah.
And I remember like going up and then just feeling so nervous, but then once I got up there and like getting real laughs and like did decently well to what I can think now might be a manufactured memory, but remembering like, oh, I gotta like figure out a way to do this. So then, but I didn't do anything for like 8 months, like did that, was too afraid to go back, and then did improv, like signed up for improv classes. So that was kind of the next route, and then got into stand up after that.
Now you're here.
And now I'm here. Yeah,
you're running the show. You got an open mic. I'm just gonna do what? Wait. So you got hit by a taxi in college?
Got hit. Yes.
I'm sorry. It's fine because I run the show, so I can.
For as long too.
Tell me about getting hit by a taxi cab.
that was okay. So that it might. I kind of. Gave out the ending away there, but it was one of the, like, I was my junior year of college and I had moved in with like six other guys, and it was like we moved in like welcome week, and I didn't know like five of them.
Okay.
And I I remember we were like partying that whole week, and it was like the last day. They all didn't want to go out, and I was like berating everyone and being like, "It's welcome week. We gotta go out one
your
more time."
Your chest is puffed out. Yeah. You got your acoustic guitar. You're like, "We're
going." We gotta let everyone know we're here and we're juniors
beer
now.
Ball, junior.
We gotta find that part. And everyone's like, "It's been a week straight. We are exhausted. Like, we got class in the morning. Like, let's just be done. Let's." It was a good week, and I'm like, wasn't having it. So I shoved. In, like, an anger, I, like, shoved 7 Coors Lights into my cargo shorts and just ventured out into the night just in search of some party. I'm like, this will be good. I'll arrive with beer. Who's going to turn me down?
Seven Coors Lights out of your cargo shorts.
And, like, and there was, a, like, one in my hand, too. That was the part where I messed up. I probably could have got away with the cargo shorts one. There was one in my hand, so I'm walking down the street, and this guy, like, ripped dude in, like, t-shirt, jeans, like, you know, grabs me from the collar. He's like, "How old are you, kid?" And, like, whips out a badge from under his shirt. And I'm like, shit. It was like an undercover cop there, you know, at the campus. And which I'd heard they're, like, all over for that welcome week, like, busting minors. Yeah. Like, should have been smarter, probably, but... So I'm like, you know, I'd talk my way out of these things a lot.
Yeah. You have your giant German badge. You're like, me? I am 38.
I've been ordering booze for as long as I can remember. What? I was not ballsy enough to, like, give them the German ID. I just, like, I remember in Minnesota, I'm like, just play dumb. Just say you're going home. That always worked. So I was like, okay, just, I'm like, I don't have any ID on me. You know, I'm just going home. It's been a late night. And he's like, it's not good enough. Like, I need a name. I need to write down your name. Or he's like, yeah, how old are you? I'm like, I'm 21. He's like, I need proof. Like, I need to look you up. And I'm like, okay. My name's like Matt McClain. And I'm like, fuck. Like, I don't know. I can't pay for this. You know, I don't know what's going to happen. And then I'm like looking around. He's like writing down my name on his notepad. And I'm like looking up the street. And like a crowd of people like clear out the side. Like, they're like, there's a path clearing on the sidewalk, okay. And I'm like, this is a sign. Like, I gotta do something. So he's like, oh, Matt McClain, like, what's your middle name? And I'm like, and like, as he's like still writing down my name, he like asks for my middle name, and I look at him, and I have that beer in my hand. And I just go, Robert, and like throw down the beer as a diversion, like it's gonna be a magician's like poof of smoke. And just like take off through there, and.
Cargo shorts like flopping with the beer,
just swinging back and forth, like just insane. And I was like, as soon as I took off, I hear him like yell from behind me. He's like, "Are you serious, kid? Are you fucking serious?"
I got your name, kid.
Yeah, I just gave him my full real name too. Or it's like, so what am I gonna do? Even if I get away, he can like just track me down next day. Like, it's just not a smart move. And so I'm like, yeah, still running. I'm like, just going through this sidewalk, and I jump down this like 3 stairs, and he's still hot on my tail, and there's a partner now behind him that caught on. So I'm chased by 2 cops. I'm running through the street, and like I'm still got those beers like weighing me down. Yeah. You know, swing. So my idea is to start like throwing them behind me,
like Mario Kart.
Like banana peels in fucking Mario Kart, exactly. And like hoping they skid out on them. And like, I have no idea if it worked. I hope it did so bad. I'm like, one of them just peeled out. It's like, ah, whoa, 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 whoa. And then, so I like get down. I'm still running. They're still like hot on my tail. I like can run a little bit faster now, at least. I'm also wearing like boat shoes. I forgot to mention that. And like, I had sprained my ankle like a couple weeks before this, hadn't run at all. And yet, you know, you get that drunk.
Yeah, you're just
know.
That drunk adrenaline. You're just booking it. You're like, I'm just going to go. Like,
totally. Just like, I pedal the metal, like, no fear. Instantly sober, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're just like in it, the intense mode. So I'm like, do or die, fight or flight type shit going on. And I'm running through the street a little bit more. I'm like checking to see if he's behind me. And I didn't like turn around fast enough as I cross into this street, and there's a taxi coming down, like slamming on its brakes in front of me. And I'm like, it can't slow down in time. Like, I can't dodge it. And it just like nails me on the hood.
Jesus Christ.
So I'm just like on the hood of the taxi, like, swear to God. And I'm like looking back at the cop, And he, like, stops chasing me for a bit and just goes, like, oh, shit! Like, yells himself. And I'm, like, looking at the driver. He's, like, freaking out. I'm freaking out. And I, like, somehow, in my memory, I, like, do a super cool move where I, like, Starsky and Hutch off of that. And, like, I land on my feet and I'm back to a full sprint.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's a real memory or not. Or
it,
like,
it probably looked a little bit more awkward. Like, in yes. your mind, like, you just, like, actually, like, did, like, a barrel roll and, like, slid off. And you're like, ha, peace out. But in actuality, like, the cops are like, fuck, like, oh, this kid's about to die because we're just trying to give him a fucking drinking ticket. And, like, you're just kind of, like, awkwardly, like, kick your leg up and kind of roll slowly off the hood.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, whew. Fucking gotcha.
Like, on all fours, and like, I'm sure it was exactly. I bet he stopped chasing me and like the part. I bet they like saw that and they're like, we're done.
Oh, yeah. Like, they're like, I don't want blood on my
I
hands.
I don't want that. Yeah, literal blood.
We have his name.
Yes. We'll come back.
We just
to
wanted
us.
To fucking chase him down and be like, you fucking, like, you don't run, kid. And
we just wanted to make $300. Like, this is all we're doing all night. Like, who cares about this? Yeah. So I think I got like, and I lost my Sperry, so I was just like bleeding on my feet. And like, I like biffed it at one point where I'm just like, I thought he had tripped me up. So I like, my knees are all bloody from the asphalt. And I'm like, just running through this neighborhood, like bloody and like panicky. And then I had to like circle around this house a few times. So I'd like lose his trail. And then I, so I like, I'm running through this neighborhood.
You Scooby-Dooed him. You just kept running around the house.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just like, I'll lose him somehow. And then I like jumped in this dugout basement window well to like hide and like catch my breath and just look at my feet like bleeding and stuff. And I'm like, I didn't know where I was. And I like call my roommate. I'm like, oh, maybe he'll come see if the coast is clear. And I call him and he's still at the apartment. And I'm like, Andrew, like, you gotta help me. Like, I'm bleeding out, like running from the cops. And he's just like, fuck off. No, you're not. And hangs up on me because he thought I was just like fucking with him. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I would have done that too. But yeah, I ended up like not being too far from my apartment. So I had to like hobble home after like sitting there for like 20 minutes. And just no cop the next day, though. I was living in constant fear for a while,
damn,
but got away with it.
Not bad.
Minus some boat shoes, yeah. So
I'm sure, you know what I can kind of see is, like, the next semester your parents being like, huh, why is the tuition $300 more expensive?
Yeah.
All right, I don't know.
That's probably, know. They probably just billed it, yeah, to, yeah. like, university services, yeah.
I'm like, all right, I guess meal plan's more expensive, I don't know.
Yeah. His like anonymous or miscellaneous charge from Department of Security, whatever.
No, he must have lost his key or something. I don't know.
Yeah, just one of those things.
It's so funny.
Yeah, that had to be it. But yeah, that was one of the. I'm like, I knew I had that in my back pocket. So I'm like, all right, maybe I'll just try to tell that on stage. And yeah, it's like pretty. I mean, pretty close to just the at of like trying to. And then it was just like eating shit at open mics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
For them being like, oh, I can just tell stories every time, right? And it's like, no, that's not what stand up is. Like, especially, I mean, maybe if you're really good, like, that's can be what it is. But,
yeah. But also, even if it is your thing and you are really good, you're still going to eat shit.
It's, oh, yeah.
That's just how it is.
Right.
That's the fun part. We're getting near the end. I wanted to ask you, I emailed you ahead. It's kind of one of the reoccurring features on the show. It's you get a chance to go on a one night bender or just like hang out at night where everything's paid for, no hangover, you won't get in trouble. You get to invite up to 5 people throughout history, living, dead, whatever, best friend, Socrates, like whomever. And then, yeah, like, you're not going to be mobbed by fans of Whitney Houston. It's like, you walk into a bar and people might, like, look back and be like, is that Whitney Houston?
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. Or all those Socrates fans trying to get autographs.
Like, yeah, well, fucking, I can see a lot more, like, fucking fanboys being up and be like, I'm going to debate Socrates on... I don't think your logic checks out.
I could probably take him, you know. Couple glasses of wine, that's my ideal night, you know, debating Socrates. I could best him, flex my chest out.
Fucking
play Socrates in beer pong, see if we can impress some high school
I would
girls.
Actually see I don't know if I'd want to like have an intellectual discussion too long with Socrates, but I could definitely see myself like teaching Socrates beer pong.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
You think he'd be into it and being like, oh yeah,
not
this
as well,
is
yeah,
this is fairly arbitrary and...
yeah. It's simple, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so who are your five? You're up to 5 people. You don't have to choose 5 people. Who are your up to 5 people? Where do you take them? What do you drink? And why?
So I was thinking about this on the ride up here, and I was like, I think being in Chicago and like hearing stories from like comedians and then like listening to like Jay Chandrasekhar of Super Troopers fame and like Norm Macdonald's book talking about Chris Farley, like when he was coming up in Chicago. And I know it's like it was that there's a definite dark side to it, but some of those stories from like him just being the undisputed life of the party and just sound insane. Like Norm Macdonald talking about like this first, and I don't even know if this story is true. Like it's tough to tell with like his writing, but he's like talking about Chris Farley in the SNL writing room, just coming in completely oiled up and like shoving cherry tomatoes up his ass being like, I'm a salad. And like, that's how he met him for the first time. And, but just like some of those things of like, just the shit he would pull in like going out in Chicago, and like how cool would that be to just like have him like be under his wing and just like go out for a night and like to all these places that you like kind of know, or at least, oh yeah, like telling him like I used to go here and there. I think that would be so cool. Yeah, but like, so I think Chris Farley is one. I think it's mostly comedians on my list of people I'd want to hang out with, and like I think it would be just awesome to do. Like Nick Swardson's another Minnesota guy.
Okay. Yeah.
And I feel like he has got to be one of the best drinkers or like people to like have a bender with out there, of like going on one of those movie sets where they're like, yeah, we're just gonna shoot a movie in Hawaii because we want to hang out with our best buddies. Like that sounds like the best thing ever. That'll be so cool. Another one I feel like not comedy related is Tim Ferriss is one of my kind
The 4-hour work week guy.
4-hour work week guy. Inspired me to kind of like quit my job. So I'm doing like engineering consulting, kind of pay the bills right now while I'm trying to do comedy. And he was like, just listening to his podcast and that stuff and hearing some of his stories. I feel like he would be like a great travel buddy. Like if I was going to go to like South America somewhere and go on like just get a hostel for 2 days and then figure out the rest and just start traveling and just like drink your way through a couple of countries, I'd be like, he would be the best dude to do that with, because he's like done that. He's just like picked up everything and just kind of started over from scratch. So I think that's like the one kind of comedy, non-comedy related guy I would do that kind of bender with. And then there, the other one is so this is kind of a bro-y one. This is going to go back to the high school roots of Tucker Max. Did you ever read I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell?
I didn't read the book, but I would go on the website every once in a while. I'm familiar with Tucker Max, yeah.
So, controversial a little bit of, like, he got kind of blasted a lot for misogynist remarks, which he's...
He's made a 180 on everything.
Made a 180 on everything. Yeah. And he's kind of come back around to being, like, really a big proponent of therapy. And I recently like read something about his like MDMA therapy experience, where he's just like thought that was like one of the most profound experiences that he's gone through, of like showing himself just to not like beat himself up and to be more loving individual. And I'm like, I really like that part of it, because I'm trying to be a recovering like piece of shit type of person and focus on being more like loving and compassionate, but also kind of like broing out like doing that type of thing. I'm like, I feel like it would be pretty fun to like just work both sides of that conversation with him. Yeah.
And that's the lineup?
That is the lineup.
Okay. Where do you have any places you would take them? Because obviously Chris Farley I assume would be taking point, but do you have any bars you frequent and enjoy in Chicago? Apart from obviously Low Res and the Logan Square Improv, which is BYOB, but
I've been really liking the Boiler Room.
Yeah, they're fun.
I live close to there in Logan Square, so I like going there for they got awesome food, and it's just like a good spot where I'm getting to this point where every bar that I'm in that like cranks up the music at 10, where they're like, oh, we gotta make people drink, like we gotta make it too loud, so you better get nervous about what you're saying and just buy more drinks. Like maybe that's a sign of getting older. I'm like, I don't need this. Like, I want just conversational level volume where I can eat a slice and take a shot of Malort and hang out. And that's a good spot for that.
Yeah, it's dope.
Yeah.
Just to plug Low Res, what's your favorite? I mean, we're taking January a little dry, but when you're at Low Res, what's the beer that you enjoy in particular?
Oh, they have a really good Scotch ale. I'm partial to those ones. Oh, I can't remember what it's called, but it's just a good balance. Like, it looks dark, and I think that turns a lot of people off of it, where it's like, oh, is this like too Guinnessy? But it's super drinkable, and it's I love those. Scotty Karate's another one from like
Old Chub is good too.
What is that one?
The Old Chub from Oscar, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Old Chub. Real good one. Yeah.
When I go to Colorado, I'm a big skier, so when I try to make it out there a couple times a year, Old Chub's all over the place. Mm-hmm. I love that one.
Cheesy's has them real cheap too. You can get them for like, I think like $5 or something like that. I think there was a point where like if you hit the happy hour right, you could get it for like $3. Nice. And I was like, get the fuck out.
Yeah.
Really?
They don't like sell like that an entire pint. Either.
And it was like, yeah, it was crazy.
Like that, and I look for, this isn't a Scotch ale, but like 90 Shillings, another like favorite Colorado beer.
Okay.
Is that the beer or the brewery? Yeah, 90 Shillings is like Odell's. That's what it is. Odell's 90 Shilling.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one, yeah. Like
I have heard of this. Okay, sorry. I don't know if I've tried it, but I have heard of the beer. Sorry.
Yeah, it's on tap like at a couple places in Chicago, but I rarely see it. And that's one that if I find like that or Old Chub, I'm like, I'm sticking around.
Yeah. Well, Matt, thanks so much, dude.
Thanks for having me, Ellie. This is awesome.
How can we find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram at Maddie_Meek, M-E-E-K. And I got my website is goodonemaddie.com, so check that out for all the other stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks so much, dude.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is a blast, man.
Cheers.
Yeah.
Okay, that will do it for this week's episode.
All right.
I'd like to thank my guest, Matt McLean. Cheers to You is a weekly podcast, part of the Art Phoenix Podcast Network, a production of Art Phoenix Studios Incorporated. This episode was edited and produced by Andy King and me, Elliot Lerner. Find the show on Instagram at Cheers to You Podcast. Email any business inquiries to cheers@artphoenixstudios.com. That's cheers@artphoenixstudios.com. Theme song is by Kozak and the Poets. Logo designed by Bethul Javid. Please rate and review the podcast anywhere you can. 5 stars, yay, leave reviews. Check out artphoenixstudios.com for more information on upcoming events, educational and collaborative opportunities, and podcasts. Support can come by the way of purchasing an Art Can Fix t-shirt. And hey, find out more at artphoenixstudios.com. That's artphoenixstudios.com. Thanks for listening. Cheers.